Well, good morning. Welcome to Northwoods Online. My name is Jason, and this is...
I'm Hope.
And we're so glad that you're joining us today. We're in this message series called Hope for Your Home. And we're actually going to be talking about parenting problems.
Yes.
Like, there are hope for your parenting problems. So I'm excited about it because I'm a parent, and I know I got problems sometimes. Just trying to navigate this new society we're in, yeah, in parenting our own kids. Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm not a parent, but I'm going to take notes because hopefully someday, you
yes,
know,
so absolutely.
future me will be yeah, thankful for this message, I think. But, you know, on top of that, parenting and families is just a big deal to us here around Northwoods. And we have a conference coming up too, actually next weekend on Saturday on the 26th. It's called Parenting Plus. It is the conference formerly known as Centered, not like, you know, the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but so Parenting Plus, and there are a bunch of great speakers from around here at Northwoods who are going to share about all kinds of things from managing technology with your kids and just, I mean, the whole realm of everything around parenting. And what's really cool about this conference that I think is really neat is that it's really built for if you're two parents together, if you're a single parent, yes, if you're a grandparent who spends a lot of time pouring into your grandkids, if you're a guardian, whatever that might be, there's something for you at that conference.
A blended family?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
There's something for everyone. And there's actually childcare. So from
yes,
birth to sixth grade,
yeah,
we have free childcare. It's $10. Per adult.
Yeah. Yep.
And then that includes lunch for your family as well.
Yeah.
So if you've got like 19 kids
and counting,
hey, get here. $10 for you and your spouse, and your kids will get to eat. And
yeah,
but you got to stay for the conference.
Yeah, don't just drop off your kids and leave. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So yeah, anyway, we would love for you to join us next weekend for that. It's a great next step out of this message series. And but for today, when we're going to get ready to dive into that message and spend some time in worship this morning. But we just always want to invite you to be sure to join the chat. You know, we always say hi, where you're watching from, but also, you know, tell us something new. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe you're always, hey, I'm here from sunny Florida, and we love that. But, you know, what else can you tell us about us? Who are you watching with? Do you have people in your home with you, your spouse, kids, dog, whatever it might be? We would love to know. And also, if you need prayer today, our team is standing by and would absolutely love to pray with you. You can just join us over on northwoods.online if you're not already and click on that request prayer button.
And you can also go to the connection card,
yep,
and send in a prayer request within that on our Northwoods
yes,
app.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
if this is your first time here,
mm-hmm,
you can text the word new to the number that's on the screen right now.
Yep.
And that'll get you connected with one of our pastors.
Yep.
But right now, it's time to get connected with Northwoods Worship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now.
Good morning, Northwoods. Let's stand together. Are you ready to worship the King? Come on, let's go. Sure. Neither death nor life can
Well, church, I'm actually going to let you have a seat. We're going to do something a little bit different. My name is Amy. I've had the privilege of serving on our worship staff for the last several years here at Northwoods. And about 2 years ago, we actually bought a little sweatshirt gift for our worship team. It had the psalm, Psalm 40, verse 3, that says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to the Lord, so that many will see and hear that the Lord is our God." And for the past couple of years, there's just been this stirring in my spirit and the spirit of my staff that we feel the Lord wanting to birth some fresh worship, some fresh praise here through writing our own songs. And so you might have noticed over the last couple of weeks that we've been introducing a couple, just some things that God has placed in our hearts. We believe that fresh praise blesses His heart. And also as we learn new songs, it can reveal truth to us in fresh ways. And so this weekend, we actually had a really exciting opportunity to do a little songwriting workshop with some of our worship team, with someone who's in the industry. Chrissy Nordhoff is her name. And when it comes to songwriting, sometimes you know a person's song more than you would know their name. And so that's definitely, I'm assuming, the case here. So Chrissy last year won a Dove Award for her song, Famous For, which Torn Wells recorded. You might have heard that. And several years before that, she won a Dove Award for Your Great Name. And I've invited Chrissy to be a part of our service today. I'm so excited for her to share a little bit with you about the story of how she wrote Your Great Name. And then when she finishes, we're gonna worship together, and you guys can stand back up. But welcome, Chrissy.
Thank you so much. It's so beautiful to be here with you, and we have had a blast with your songwriters. You do have songwriters in this congregation. I know you know that. But man, there are several gifted ones. And it was such a blessing to come alongside, cheer them on, and watch them grow even over the course of a day. How amazing. I can't wait to see what God's going to do here in and through them. And I see great things ahead. Well, this story of Your Great Name is special to me. Of course, every song has a story. But this one is technically my story. This is my testimony. And I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew the Lord from an early age, but I didn't understand really how much I needed Him until I got physically sick. And I woke up, I think it was my 28th birthday, I remember feeling a tingling feeling in my left toes, and it came all the way around my entire body, and then I had twitching, and I had joint pain, and none of the doctors could figure out what was going on with me. And I remember being face down on my living room floor, just in tears, because I was in so much pain I couldn't sleep in the middle of the night one night. And, you know, it was one of those moments where you just ask the Lord to speak to you. And I opened the Word of God, and my eyes landed on this verse in John, which said, "This sickness is not fatal. It's an occasion to show glory by glorifying God's Son." So I took that as a promise that He was going to heal me and that this was not the end. And my sister called shortly after that. I had been through many treatments, medical treatments, and they weren't working after 18 months. And she called and said, "Chrissy, why don't you think about coming up to our church? We're having a healing service in Michigan where I grew up." And I had never been to a healing service. I didn't understand necessarily what that was all about, but I felt like the Lord said, "Go, trust me, I want to show you something, and I'll meet you there." So I booked that plane ticket, I flew up, and I went to the service, and I was standing in the front, and the pastor came to pray for me. And when he did, I just felt the power of God's love hit my body. It felt like an electric love that rushed through me. And I knew from that point on, not only did He heal me physically, which He did, my blood work changed, He healed me, but also emotionally, spiritually, so many levels I didn't even know I needed. I didn't know that I needed to understand that He loved me that way, and it changed everything for me. And my writing changed. I went back home to Tennessee, and I had this new fervor for praying for healing for people that needed to be healed. And there was a little boy in our church that had a terminal illness. He was 2 years old. Our church rose up to pray for him, and it was a big deal for us to do that. And a week later, he went to heaven. And we were left with a lot of questions. But what I know is not a question. What is always true is the Word of God. And so that's where I went. I wanted to sing truth about who Jesus is. And I knew that we needed to pray no matter what happens this side of heaven, that He does always heal. And as I went through those scriptures and those truths, I began to pen those words. The lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. And all condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. And if you'll notice, there's a line about healing in there too. So that's what I thought the end of the story was and where that song came from. Until I went to Scotland on a missions trip with a gentleman named Ray Hughes. And I brought my family lines with me. I wrote them down on a piece of paper and I had them in my pocket just in case any of my family names came up while we were on the trip. We were learning a lot about the history and about the church. And the very first day, we were standing on a street corner in Edinburgh, Scotland. And Ray began to talk about a gentleman named James Guthrie. And James Guthrie led the Covenanters, which was a group of men that was standing against the king's religious oppression. So he declared the name of Jesus. That's what he did. And he was actually martyred on the street for doing that. And I reached down in my pocket and I looked on my list and I saw a James Guthrie on my list, but it was a little later than this James Guthrie. And I found out through the course of the trip that that was actually my grandfather of the James Guthrie that was listed on my list. So he was technically James Guthrie the martyr, my 11th grandfather. And what I realized while we were there, and while we were visiting different historical sites, and we saw the actual mass grave of the Covenanters where he was buried, I realized that the lyrics for this song, many of them, were printed on that gravestone. And it blew my mind. Only God could do something like that. So what I thought was my story, and what I thought was my song, it wasn't. It was part of a legacy of a grandfather that came many years before me. It was a song that I carried in my blood. And what Satan thought he stopped on a street corner in Edinburgh over 300 years ago is still now being proclaimed around the world. Would you sing this one with us?
Every fear, everyone, it has
the seeds planted long before our feet hit this earth. And Lord, thank you for the things that we are now sowing that may bear fruit long after we're here. Lord, I pray that in it and through it all, that it would all be to glorify your name on the face of this earth. Let it be so, Lord, as it was before and is now. Let it forever be your name, the highest thing lifted on this earth. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was so powerful. Thank you so much, Christy. Well, you guys can go ahead and be seated. And while you're doing that, say a quick hello to those around you. I love that sound. Well, welcome to Northwoods. My name is Janine, and we're so glad that you chose to spend part of your weekend with us. If you are new to Northwoods, we would love to connect with you and get to know you a little bit better and maybe answer some of your questions. All you need to do is text the word new to the number right there on your screen, and someone will be reaching out to you soon. Now, for everyone else, now's the time to go ahead and fill out your connection card in the Northwoods mobile app. Now, while you're there, you're going to see a couple of new next step opportunities listed there. I'm going to talk to you about a couple of those, but in the meantime, you can click on any of those that you would like a little more information about. Now, we could never offer all of these great next step opportunities without your faithful giving. So thank you for your continued generosity. Now, if you call Northwoods home and you've come here today prepared to give cash or a check, you can do that by dropping it in any of the offering boxes that you find around the church. You can also give online or through the Northwoods mobile app or by texting the word give to the number on your screen. All right, so now I want to tell you a little bit about those next steps and about what's going on around Northwoods. We hope you'll join us next week for something a little extra special. We are welcoming our key partners in our Surge project, from which we're able to resource church planters around the world. As a matter of fact, if you see the little plaques that are on the seat backs around you, those are the churches that you've already helped plant. So that's pretty awesome. And next week, we're going to get some global and local updates about what's going on with that project. And then we're also going to hear a message from Pastor Philip Murdoch from Rio de Janeiro. So it's going to be a great weekend, a great Sunday morning. So be sure to join us for that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think parenting is one of the hardest jobs in the world. And when my adult kids were younger, my husband and I would go to every parenting conference we could find to the point that our kids like dreaded it. They'd be like, oh, great, mom and dad are going to another one. What are they going to come home with now? But we learned some really great tools and we gained confidence in our parenting. Well, next week we are offering the Parenting Plus Conference. And it's going to be a powerful and practical opportunity for all parents, grandparents, or caregivers of any kind, where you're going to gain some fresh insights, some effective tools, and some focused training on our role as the spiritual leader of our kids. There's stuff that I learned in that conference when my adult kids were little that I'm still using today with my 11-year-old. So it's some really great material. Now, it's going to be next Saturday from 9 to 3, and it's just $10 per adult. And with that, you're going to get all your materials, lunch for your whole family, and childcare. You can't beat that. So go to the website, northwoods.church/family, and get your family signed up. Your kids will appreciate it one day. Promise ya. All right, so with March quickly coming up, we are moving into a milestone month in the history of Northwoods. Pastor Cal is going to be sharing and teaching his last series as our senior pastor. But we've got some really great celebration activities planned. And some of those are open houses where you can come to those and have a moment with a personal moment with Pastor Cal and his wife, Susan. We're also going to have some fun-filled services with lots of memories and marching orders. So be sure to be here, and you can find out the details about all the different activities that are going on our website. Well, speaking of that, let's hear from our elders and our senior pastors about the transition that's happening right now at Northwoods.
Well, Northwoods, it's really exciting for me to be back with you and sitting here with Cal and John as we are going to share some more updates on the transition. So I just want to assure you all that the State of the Union in Northwoods Community Church is good. We are blessed, and God continues to use both of these men in powerful ways. And we are so grateful for this transition process. So I also just want to take an opportunity and let you guys share with the congregation a little bit where your heart is with the journey. I know, Cal, you've got this 9 months coming up before you re-enter back in January of 2023. Maybe just give us a minute with what your 9 months is looking like, what you and Susan are going to be doing.
So I had the opportunity sitting in a hotel room a month ago to say, wow, when am I going to get a time where I still have my health, I have energy, and we can just travel. Mm-hmm. I put together a travel budget and a travel plan, and Susan and I are going to do about 25,000 miles.
25,000.
Between March 27 and January of 2023. And people have graciously opened homes to us. There are friends that we're going to visit. I'm just asking my wife, do you think you could be in a car with me that long? It's going to be a good test of our marriage, I think. But we didn't know at the time, 3.5 years ago, that John was going to be mm-hmm. the successor. I couldn't be more proud of him. I couldn't be more proud of the fact that I'm one of a handful of pastors who ever get to serve virtually their entire career in one place and hand off to a son. Are you kidding me?
That's amazing.
I tell both John and Nathan, let my ceiling be your floor.
Yeah.
You stand on where I took it to, and my prayer is that I'll get to watch God just do amazing things in your day. It's a whole nother generation that needs to be reached, and I know he's ready to go.
And John, I just want to echo everything your dad said. The elders are so, so incredibly proud of you. We're so excited for you. You have our hearts. You are our pastor. We are excited to do ministry with you, and we are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were raised in this man's house for such a time as this to lead our church. And we're grateful for who you are, for who God's made you to be, and we're just excited. So thank you for being willing to commit to this church. So share with us a little bit about your thoughts about transition, how it's going for you, what it's been like for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for saying that, Jeff. You guys have encouraged me all along this way, and so I really, really appreciate that. It's just been so great to be able to have, you know, a couple things come off his plate at a time, come onto mine. And as I step into those more, to have my dad right there and to talk through them with us, say, Dad, how would you think about that? How should I be thinking about this? Any coaching you want to give me on this? And so I've just realized through this last 3 years how much my dad, our elders, you know, our executive team have really shielded all of us from kind of the wind that comes with being out front leading. And so I've started to feel that more, that what comes with being on the front lines of leadership. But it's been at a pace where I've felt like it's been really, really good for me. And so I don't think it was any coincidence that God led our elders, my dad, everyone that was involved to this piece of land here in Peoria. Because I look at all the houses that have grown up around this piece of property, and you see it's like the nations have come to our front door. And there are so many people, there's so much opportunity to reach people for Jesus. And so I really feel like, man, we've been set up really well. And I'm excited for the people that we're going to reach for Jesus in the days ahead.
We're so grateful. And I know God has his hand upon you, and we just are going to support you, and we're committed to you and to helping you to serve as completely as the Lord has laid on your heart. So thank you very much. And again, church, we are blessed. So as you pray for us through this transition, continue to lift up John, continue to lift up Cal, lift up the leadership, but know that God has been good to us, and we want to just continue to thank him over and over again. Thank you for letting us share with you.
Amen. Well, good morning, Northwoods. Yeah. Great to see all of you. And just like you heard, the month of March coming up is going to be a celebration as we celebrate all that God has done in these past 30 years and celebrate our senior pastor, my dad. It's gonna be a great, it's an incredible month as we reflect and look ahead also. So I want to encourage you, just again, put it on your calendar. I hope you can be here for every Sunday in March as we celebrate our senior pastor and all that God has done in these last 30 years. And like Janine said in announcements, it will be kind of the last series that my dad preaches as a senior pastor here at Northwood. But it won't be the last time he preaches, because I've already got him on the slate for 2023. In fact, I'm looking forward to this. You know, there's been times over the years I've been grateful to serve alongside my dad. There's been some times where he's had things come up in a moment, and he said, you know, on a Friday, John, I need you to preach this Sunday. And I'm looking forward to being able to do that to him once in a while now in 2023, where I have something come up and say, hey, Dad, I had something come up last minute. Need you to step in. And I know he'll look forward to and be happy to do that. So we're still going to see him. You know, 2022, he's going to travel a lot. I thought it was funny because this is so my dad. He gets energized by travel. I was listening to my mom and his schedule for the rest of 2022 post-March. And the first time they'll be back in Peoria is sometime in June. And they're coming back just for a couple of days. And here's the reason they're coming back: for a dentist appointment. So they're going to be traveling a lot. They're going to have some fun. But again, put it on your schedule. I hope you can be here with us every Sunday in March as we celebrate what God has done and how he's used my dad in this church over the last 30 years. But I'm excited today as we continue in our Hope for Your Home series. You know, occasionally, I don't know about anybody else, but I like to jump on real estate apps every once in a while and just look at what homes are for sale in the area. You know, what's the market value of homes? Not because I want to move. I'm not looking to move, go anywhere. I love where I live. But I enjoy looking at some of the houses around, you know, getting ideas from different houses, seeing what the market values are. And I'm sure many of you have noticed this, but right now there is super low inventory of homes in our area. That might be a nationwide thing, but I know at least in Peoria, there are like very few homes for sale, very few homes in the market. And so if you were looking for a home around here, you would find it's very hard to find a home right now. And I was thinking about that the other night, and I was reminded that just as it's hard to find physical homes right now, it's becoming harder and harder to find hope-filled homes right now. You know, as the last few years have seemed to drag on, homes and families have felt overworked, overwhelmed, stressed out, and with little confidence that better days lie ahead. In other words, our homes could all benefit from a fresh infusion of hope. And so specifically today, I want to talk about hope in regards to our parenting problems. Hope in regards to our parenting problems. You know, if you're a parent, you know that the last several years have brought a whole host of complex problems and questions to navigate through. You've had to navigate questions like, you know, how do I help my child process a pandemic and everything that's got attached to it, with masks and vaccines and quarantines? You know, kids are asking, you know, why has my classmate not been at school for a week? Why am I home and I feel perfectly fine? How do we help our children process, you know, on the backside of that, how do we help them process through the fear and the anxiety that has gotten attached to it? I mean, look around. America is dealing with a mental health crisis amongst our youth right now. Then how about navigating the deep division that COVID has brought, not only just in our nation, but even inside of homes with families? Right, these are tough topics to navigate no matter the age of your children. And you throw that on top of discipline, time management, monitoring the constant barrage of media that our kids are intaking, helping children develop moral character, and everything else that goes along with parenting. You know, just everything else. This morning I was having breakfast, and Michaela was upstairs helping the girls get ready for church. And so I had Aaron, a little one-year-old. He's over here eating breakfast. I had made him some scrambled eggs. And I'm just, you know, I'm eating my oatmeal. And I look over, and he's got his diaper like this, and he's dropping eggs down his diaper. So you throw all of those things I just talked about on top of the eggs down the diaper. It's a recipe that it's just like parents are overwhelmed, stressed out, tired. And there are a lot of us parents that feel that way and find ourselves struggling to find answers for the problems we are facing. I have found myself feeling this way many times over the last couple of years. And in those times, I've found that when I'm overwhelmed
and I feel like I'm struggling, I found the most productive thing I can do is just get back to the fundamentals of my faith. In fact, many times my struggles are the product of getting away from the fundamentals, spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, making time for godly relationships. For example, I'm a sports guy, and so you hear me use sports analogies many times, but I remember several years back, this has always stuck with me, when Tiger Woods was on at the top of his game and was on top of the golf game around the world. I remember there was a time where he went through a struggle, and he went through several tournaments, didn't do well. He was struggling. And I remember a reporter came and talked to him and said, "Tiger, you know, you've been in a stretch where you've really been struggling. What's your plan moving forward?" And I'll never forget his answer was, I need to go home and I need to get back to working just on the most basic fundamentals. Stance, you know, the grip. And you would think that a professional, in my mind, it was like, you would think a professional would be beyond that. Like, fundamentals are what beginners are learning. But the truth is, you never graduate past the fundamentals. It's true in sports, and it's also true in our walk with the Lord. And I think many times when we're struggling to find answers, we think we need some new and deep revelation from the Lord, when the truth is, we just need to get back to consistently practicing the fundamentals. Consistency in the fundamentals is not only how you grow spiritually, but how we raise our level of hope. And so today, I want to look with you at a passage of scripture that speaks about the fundamentals of godly parenting. Psalm 127. So if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to go there. Or if you have YouVersion, you can swipe there. And as you're doing that, I want you to know that while I'm going to make application for parents with children today, that even if you are not a parent today and you don't have children, or maybe your kids have moved out of the home and you're kind of past that training phase, that there are still going to be, that there's still principles in this passage that will still be applicable to your life. So don't feel like, oh, it's just for parents, I'm checking out. Don't be checking out on me, all right? So let me give you the first fundamental that we see in this passage, and this comes out of Psalm 127, verse 1. Fundamental number one is this: make the Lord the foundation of your home. Make the Lord the foundation of your home. Let's read. It says in Psalm 127 and verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain." Now, of course, the idea isn't that the Lord, you know, picks up a hammer and nails and starts building a home, or that he puts on a security uniform and picks up a weapon and starts defending. It's the idea that unless God is the foundation of the home, unless God is the protector of the city, our effort is in vain. You know, I this was so interesting. You know, you heard Christy talk about going to Scotland, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but I think it's Edinburgh. I forget how to announce it. I even talked to an English man this week, one of my friends, and I was like, how do you pronounce it? I thought it was Edinburgh. I'm just getting it all wrong, okay? But I thought it was interesting because she mentioned that, and I had totally forgot she was going to mention this, and I had something in my message from Edinburgh, Scotland. Funny how the Lord just kind of brings things together like this. But Edinburgh has a coat of arms. The city has a coat of arms that has three Latin words written above it. I want you to look at this picture. I love this. You can kind of see above that coat of arms, it says, "Nisi Dominos Frustra." And that is the Latin phrase that literally means, "Without the Lord, frustration." Without the Lord, frustration. Meaning you can work, strive, hustle, plan, worry, agonize all you want, but if the Lord is not the foundation of your home, if the Lord is not at the center of your effort, it's all in vain. You will be frustrated and worn out. Now, it's easy to talk about, hey, make the Lord the foundation of your home, but you might be asking the question, okay, I get that, but what does that look like practically? Like, how do I do that? Well, let me give you a few practical examples. You know, at the most basic level, it's making God's ways the way you operate in your home. But let me give you some really practical examples that have been helpful to me, okay? Here's one way. Make the word, God's word, foundational to your conversations. Foundational to your conversations. For example, I can speak from experience with my 6 and my 4-year-old right now. They ask a lot of questions, and I don't have a lot of answers to some of the questions they ask sometimes. But when they ask questions like, this is one that I've heard just recently, why does the sun always go down over there, but it always rises over here? Like, why does it just always go down over there and it only rises over here? Now, I could say, well, because, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But I can also say, because that's how God designed it to work. God designed the sun to rise over here and set over here. See, at this stage in my conversation, I'm constantly working to ingrain the most foundational truth in the whole universe, that God is the creator of everything and designed with intention and with purpose. It doesn't mean that everything I say in my conversation has to be a Bible verse or about God, but it means I'm communicating God and his word are foundational to everything. That also means his word is foundational to how we treat each other with our words. You know, we're not cussing people out in this home. We don't lie. Why? Because the Bible says that we're kind to one another. The Bible says we tell the truth. It's foundational. We use words in a way that give life. So that's one way. Make the word foundational to your conversation. Let me give another one. Model prayer as a first response to problems. Model prayer as a first response to problems. This means if we have problems, we pray about it. When I was serving in student ministry a few years back, I encountered a family that was doing this so well. We had their 5th grader in Quest, and I remember one Sunday morning, he came running up, and he was having some severe stomach pain. And so I kind of pulled him aside, you know, I'm trying to assess the situation. I remember him saying, can you just call my parents and ask them to pray for me? I was like, wow. First response from this 5th grader is, let's pray about it. And you want to know why that was? Because that home had a habit of making prayer a first response. Real simple way to do that. When your children, no matter their age, bring their problems with you, to you, just start with prayer. Instead of trying to fix it right away, we're going to lead with prayer. Also, ask them, how can I be praying for you? What can I be praying about? Very simple, and establishes the reality that prayer is a first response. Let me give you one more way that's a practical way of making the Lord the foundation of your home, is make God-centered music the atmosphere of your home. I was turned on to this by Sam Storms. He's a pastor and an author. We're actually going to have him here to speak in June. I'm super excited about that. But he wrote about this idea in his book titled Understanding Spiritual Warfare. And he pointed to the story in the Bible of King Saul and David, and how when King Saul was afflicted by this distressing spirit, if you remember, he would have David come play the harp and the spirit would leave. And it's the idea that God-honoring music has more than just an emotional effect on people. God-honoring music not only fills our minds, shapes our thoughts, but has the power to drive out, frustrate, and defeat demonic forces. Sam said it this way in his book, "Music devoted to God's glory, played or sung by a person in whom the Spirit dwells, creates a spiritual atmosphere that is repellent and offensive to Satan and his hosts." Turn some worship music on, just in the background of your home. You know, I know if you're a parent that's kind of similar to my age, you know, you want to turn on some of your 90s music from back in high school and all that stuff. Turn on some worship music. Let it play in the background when you're eating breakfast. Turn it on in the car. Make that the spiritual atmosphere of your home. Make the Lord the foundation of your home. That's the first fundamental. Let me give you fundamental number 2. Make the Lord the center of your life and work. Make the Lord the center of your life and work. Look at verse 2 in Psalm 127. It says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves." He grants sleep to those he loves. The idea that when you trust God and you place your cast your anxiety and worries on him, you can lay down and sleep. And it's also the idea that even while you're sleeping, God is still accomplishing things. He's fighting for you even while you're asleep. But it says, "In vain you rise up early and stay up late." The point is this, that working and striving to provide a better life for your children on its own will not lead to a godly, happy home. Dad and mom, listen, I get it. We got things that need to be paid for, and we need money. It's not wrong to work at building your income. But let's understand, our children require more than a paycheck. They require your presence. I just saw this week, I thought this was really interesting, Tom Hanks' son, Chet Hanks, came out, and I think it was on a podcast. He basically did a podcast. He was interviewed about what it's like, what it was like growing up as Tom Hanks' son. And this is the line he used. There was, in the interview, he made this statement. He said, I didn't have a strong male role model growing up. Had money, nice homes, exotic vacations, private planes, but yet with all he had, the one thing he seemed to, one thing he shared that he lacked was a strong male role model in the home. Now, I don't know Tom Hanks. I have no idea how he parents, but I think it's revealing that his son would make that statement. Dads, I want to talk to you for a moment. Felt this very strong on my heart this week because I know that as men, we take a lot of pride in getting it done outside the home. That's not to say that women don't either. There are many women who work outside the home, take a lot of pride in what they do, and that's totally good. But I have found that men have a tendency to pursue interests outside the home and detach emotionally and spiritually from their wives and their children. In fact, it's been my observation over 10 years in ministry that in general, women are by and part more engaged spiritually than men are. I've seen this in the church all across America, and I have seen this also play out in homes in my many conversations with couples. And I believe that many of the problems we face in this nation and in our homes could be cured if dads would get serious about their relationship with the Lord and pick up the mantle of spiritual leadership in the home. I believe you'd see less shootings, you'd see less gangs, less school violence, alcohol and drug abuse, less teen suicide if fathers in this nation would step up and rise up and say, I'm gonna lead spiritually. Dads in the room today, if you know your heart is not turned towards your wife and your children, I want you to begin to ask the Lord to soften your heart and invite the Holy Spirit to teach you how to be a man after God's own heart. In fact, I want to stop right now and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for all the dads in the room, all the dads listening today, even those dads who might not be listening today, who are estranged from their family. In the book of Malachi, Malachi talks about the hearts of fathers being turned towards children and the hearts of children being turned towards their fathers. And so you understand it's a spiritual issue when a father's heart is not turned towards their children. And so I want to pray for fathers in the room today. I want to pray for fathers listening. Lord, I thank you that you've given the father in the home is the spiritual leader in the home. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray by your fire and your fire that you would begin to soften the hearts of every father under the sound of my voice today, that you would turn the hearts of fathers to their children. And I pray for children whose hearts have been wounded, whose hearts are bitter and maybe unforgiving and feel like they're distant and don't want to turn back to their fathers. I pray that you would soften their hearts as well. And I pray that even children today who maybe there's a fight going on in the family today, children don't even want to engage with their parents, Lord, I pray that you would soften the hearts of children and you would turn them back to their fathers, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you'd soften our hearts towards our children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I want you to know, church, when your life is built, this is not only for fathers now, but now I'm talking to everybody. When your life is built on God and your heart is turned towards your family, not only will your marriage and your children reap the rewards, but you will leave a legacy that impacts generations. I love Christy's story because it's a story of legacy. How one grandfather down the line stood for the Lord, and you see how it's just going down the line, and now Christy's living it out. When you drive a stake in the ground and say, I'm going to live for the Lord and make him the center of my life, it doesn't just impact you and your that first generation of children. It goes down the line. Earlier this year, I came across an article on what is called the five-generation rule. And the five-generation rule is the idea that how parents raise their children, the love they give, the values they teach, the spiritual environment they create influences not only their children at first generation, but four generations to follow for either good or for evil. And this article looked at two different studies that I thought were pretty fascinating. It contrasted two men that lived around the same time but left vastly different legacies. The first man was Jonathan Edwards. He was a well-respected preacher that lived in the 1700s. He was the president of Princeton University. Back then, the university was actually devoted to training ministers. And Edwards married his wife Sarah in 1727, and they were blessed with 11 children. Yeah. And the story is told that every night, Edwards make a habit of coming home and spending at least an hour just in conversation with his family, and then he would pray an individual blessing over each child. And Jonathan, along with his wife Sarah, passed on a great and godly legacy to their 11 children. And many years later, a man named A.E. Winship traced the descendants of Jonathan Edwards five generations beyond. And I want you to look at his findings, which detail the incredible legacy left by Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. I want you to look at this list. They had one U.S. vice president, one dean of a law school, one dean of a medical school, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professors, 75 military officers, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, 100 pastors, and 285 college graduates. That's pretty incredible. And in summary, Winship stated, much of the capacity and talent, intensity, and character of more than 1,400 of Edwards' descendants is in large part thanks to Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. Now, I want you to look at the next person whose family line was studied. The next man was given the name Max Jukes to protect his identity. And the Jukes family was studied in 1877 by a sociologist named Richard Dugdale. Max grew up in upstate New York, was not a hard worker, was a very vulgar man, and did not have a relationship with the Lord. And his legacy began to come to light when 42 different men in the New York prison system were traced back to him. And upon a deeper dive into his family line, here's part of the legacy of Max Jukes. He had 7 murderers in his line, 60 thieves, 190 prostitutes, 150 convicts, 310 were homeless and destitute, 440 whose lives were wrecked by an addiction to alcohol, and 300 that died prematurely. And the study concluded, this article that included these two studies concluded with this thought. Do you want Edwards' legacy or Jukes' legacy? The life that you live will determine the legacy you leave. It's time to get back to the fundamentals. Make the Lord the foundation of your home. Make the Lord the center of your life and work. Fundamental number 3 is this: partner with God in your parenting. The psalm continues, let's read in verse 3. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord. And it says, offspring, a reward from him. Now, side note, it's kind of funny. I had to laugh about this because at the end of verse 2, it talks about how God rewards us with sleep. And then verse 3 talks about children being a reward. I had to ask God this week, Lord, how can you reward someone with children and with sleep? I thought you could only give one or the other. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But it says that children are a heritage, which in the Hebrew literally means a property or possession that is shared or assigned. I want you to understand, some of us might have had a child that was a surprise or it wasn't planned, but it's never accidental. Every child is assigned by the Lord. No matter how that child comes, that child is an assignment from the Lord. Not an accident, an assignment. But I want to talk to you about that word shared, because shared speaks to the idea of partnership. And how many times as parents do we profess belief in the idea that, yes, you know, our children, they're from the Lord, they belong to the Lord, and we're just partnering with him, but then act as if their future and destiny rest completely on our shoulders. We put so much pressure on ourselves as parents to get everything right and act as if the outcomes of our children's lives is purely on us. Is it any wonder that we're stressed out and overwhelmed? You know, when my first child, Ariana, was born, for a long time, I found I was just so anxious, worried, fearful that one wrong step on my part is going to scar her for life, and she's going to be dealing with it long down the road because of something dad said, you know, when her first year of life or something. I was just so anxious. I got to do everything right. What if I do something wrong? But if we're partnering with God, that means the goal isn't to never fail and to get everything right. The goal is to reflect his heart and let God take care of the outcomes. I want you to write that down if you're a parent. It's not about getting it right. It's about being a reflection. I want you to think more in terms of reflecting God's heart to your children and less in terms of, I got to get this right and this right and this right and this right. No, I'm focused on, I'm just going to reflect the heart of God. And that's why it's so important that you develop a relationship with the Lord and there's intimacy with the Lord and you spend time in his word and prayer so that you are being a reflection. Listen, don't parent alone. You partner with God in your parenting. We know this, children are from the Lord, but let's not act like everything rests on us. We're partnering with God, and our job is to be a reflection, and let's stop trying to own the outcomes of everything for our children. Let's let that rest with God. Let's just focus on being a reflection and partnering with him. And let me give you the last fundamental here is provide your children with spiritual direction. Look at the last two verses. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Then it says, they will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. You know, children are likened to arrows in the hands of a warrior. Maybe you know, this is a pretty famous passage. You've heard this. And a couple things I want to point out, right? Arrows are not a short-range weapon. They're not like a spear or a sword. They are a long-range weapon. Speaks to the idea of parenting being a long-range game. But it also speaks to the idea that if children are like arrows, they need direction. An arrow cannot direct itself. Children rarely stumble onto the correct path apart from direction. Children need direction. Proverbs says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. You know this if you're a parent. You didn't have to teach them to disobey. They just do it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. A child on their own won't just stumble onto very rarely will stumble onto the right path. They need discipline, they need training, they need direction. And this is the opposite of what you're going to hear in culture today. You're going to hear, no, you know, don't discipline your children. You're going to harm them. Take a hands-off approach when it comes to direction. For example, I'm amazed that I see more and more parents in culture advocating that we should take a hands-off approach with our children so as not to put constraints or labels or stereotypes on them. Maybe you've seen this. I saw this on the news recently, the concept of babies. Not babies, babies. In other words, parents who are raising children using only gender-neutral pronouns. They, them, there. Don't call them he or her. Only refer to them as they, them, or there. and being careful not to label their children according to their assigned sex at birth. So they use gender-neutral pronouns so the child can decide when, if, and how they would like to identify. It's hands-off. Let the children decide. They know. Contrary to culture, God's word indicates that gender is not fluid. It's set at birth and aligns with your biological sex. And beyond that, taking a hands-off approach, especially in the area of identity formation with our children, is not helpful. It's incredibly harmful and gives the enemy access to fill the void left by our silence and lack of direction. So to illustrate this, I'm gonna ask our stage manager. He's gonna bring out a trellis and a vine, but I want to illustrate for this in a little bit different way than an arrow. We think, you know, I thought about bringing an arrow, a bow and arrow in here, but I was like, that might end up not great if I shot a bow and arrow somewhere. I thought about a Nerf one, but then I was like, you know what? With my luck, I'll end up like knocking someone's glasses off or ruining a light or something like that. So I want you to think about a trellis and a vine when it comes to direction. So let's think about this, a vine and a trellis. So you know this, but, or maybe you knew this, but vines on their own, if just left to their own without direction and with training, they will just grow all over the place. They just go everywhere and they end up being a pretty destructive plant without training and direction. And so when you have vines, what you do is you bring a structure like a trellis, and you know this, if you've done this, you begin to train them, especially when they're young and just a tender kind of a shoot of a vine, you begin to train it over and over up this structure, this trellis. And what happens is that vine will begin to grow in the direction that you're training it. And it's not a destructive plant anymore. It's actually a beautiful plant, and it's growing in the way that you've trained it and directed it. I want you to think about children as kind of like a vine. Children without direction, without guidance, without discipline, like a vine, they can be downright destructive. You know this. And so just like the vine needs a trellis, needs a structure, so children need a structure, a spiritual structure in the home that gives them direction and guidance as they grow. Now, what does that spiritual structure look like in the home? I think at the most, the bare minimum, the structure should be that you have prayer at meals, you're praying, you're setting that spiritual structure, that you read the Bible either at morning or night with your children, and that you attend church on Sundays. You have your church, you have your children in church. You do those things. It's not that your children will never rebel, and it doesn't automatically mean they're going to surrender their life to Jesus, but I'm telling you, you are providing a spiritual structure in your home, and you're giving direction and guidance to your children. Children today, I was thinking about this, you know, because I can be guilty of this sometimes too. Children today are growing up knowing every episode of Coco Melon and PJ Masks, but they don't know anything about the Word of God. It's the truth. Let's not raise a generation that can recall every episode of Peppa Pig, but can't recall one thing from God's Word. Does that require intention with your children? Absolutely. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. You know, so many parents today are so overwhelmed and say, man, my kids are just all over the place. They're just destructive. I don't even know what to do. Well, here's the first question you need to ask yourself. Do I have a spiritual structure in my home for guidance and direction? If you don't, well, then I don't think you should become, then they're gonna be all over the place. They need direction and guidance. Give them that spiritual structure. You start there with developing a spiritual structure in your home. Now listen, obviously the training and direction and guidance is going to look different at different stages in life. How I'm doing it for a 6-year-old is going to look a lot different than how you're doing it for a 15-year-old. And I know that when we start thinking about providing spiritual direction, that can feel a bit daunting. But I just want to mention again what was mentioned in the announcements today, that we want to partner with you as parents. And so next Saturday, we're putting on a parenting conference here at Northwoods called Parenting Plus. It's $10 per adult. So if you're a single parent, it's $10. If you're coming both mom and dad, it's $20. And there's childcare provided. And I've been a part of this conference in years past helping, and I looked at kind of the rundown of some of the breakouts this year. And again, these are all things gonna be helpful for you. When you think about one of the breakouts, discipline deconstructed. Anybody need help knowing how to discipline their children? Scream-free parenting. Been through that one and very helpful to me. Technology, there's gonna be a technology breakthrough. And some of our IT guys here are gonna talk with you about some of the things coming down the pipe technologically and some of the things to be aware of as parents. That's something we're all dealing with all the time, is monitoring the intake of media in our home. We're gonna talk about dealing with anxiety and fear with your children. I'm telling you, it is going to be something that's very helpful. And so if you haven't signed up and you're a parent and you're saying, man, I could use some help, go to northwoods.church/family. We'd love to partner with you in our parenting. But let's get back to making the fundamentals the foundation of our home. Now, as we close, I wanna ask those of you who are parents, and let's say you're kind of still in that training and direction phase. Let's just say, you know what, if you're a parent and you have kids who are college-aged and down, I wanna ask you to stand, because I wanna pray for you, and I wanna have people extending hands towards you and praying for you today. Those of you who maybe the kids are out of the home now, I want you to be praying for these people. So everyone in the room, I want you just right now to just extend a hand towards the people that are standing. They're right next to you, put a hand on them. Because parents today, we're weary. We're overwhelmed. We need all the help we can get, and it starts with prayer. And so, Lord, I thank you for every single parent that is represented in this room. I pray that you would just breathe fresh life over these parents today. I pray that you would bring refreshment to their souls today, Lord. And I pray that you would remind us again as parents that where we feel like we fall short and are inadequate, you make up the difference. Pray you'd give fresh courage, fresh strength to these parents in the days ahead. And I pray that these parents represented here today, that as they continue to pursue their relationship with you and make you number one in their lives, I pray that it would just have, I thank you, that it's going to have a trickle-down effect in the lives of their children and generations to come. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray fresh blessing over every parent represented in this room. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Parents, we love you. We're standing with you. Again, you're dismissed now. It's the end. And if you need prayer for anything, I want to let you know that we will have our prayer team down front, and we would love to pray with you today. Have a great week, and hope to have you back next Sunday with Pastor Philip Murdoch. Northwoods Online, thanks so much for tuning in. And again, if you live anywhere near our Peoria campus, we would love to have you come out and be a part of our Parenting Plus conference. I know it'll be a blessing to you if you're a parent. Again, you can find more information about that online, northwoods.church/family. Have a great week.
All right. Well, what a great message about parenting and dealing with some of those harder things as a parent. And like we said at the beginning, like you heard in announcements, hopefully, Parenting Plus is coming up next Saturday. We would love for you to get plugged in to come to that conference and learn more, dive into what it looks like to lead with God at the center of your home. So check out the link on your screen and get signed up for Parenting Plus.
And we'll see you back here next week. Have a great week.